Hi, Professor. So I chose an article called Growing Sign Language's Scientific Vocabulary. It's by Lei Kreisch Boerner. Hopefully I pronounced that right. And basically, the article is talking about how American Sign Language, which many deaf people in the U.S. use to communicate, has a limited number of signs for advanced scientific terms, for example, like an antiomer or bacteria even. And language like that, scientific language, vocabulary, there aren't signs for that. Quantum physics, there's no real structured sign for that. And so to say something like that in American Sign Language, they often have to spell the term out letter by letter or use a sign that is kind of similar but isn't conceptually right. And this lack of signs, it significantly hinders these deaf people's career choices, their entry into just the sciences, and it kind of isolates them from their peers. So they're kind of creating groups in these different universities, and those groups are creating new scientific terms for the rest of the ASL, American Sign Language community. And even just in the same university, there's differences in signs by different professors because they learned sign language differently. They're more comfortable with different terms. So, for example, for bacteria, it's common to use the sign for bug, as in like an insect. American Sign Language has a separate sign for bacteria, but some scientists continue to use the one for bug because they're just so used to it. It's ingrained in them, and it's easier to sign for them, even though the other bacteria one is more correct. So I never really thought about that, but you know, there are a lot of barriers in the science community for deaf individuals, and I don't know, this article was just eye-opening because you know, you never think about these things when you're doing experiments, but in the picture here, there's a professor that's signing to some students, and they're all wearing, you know, their proper protection equipment, their goggles, their gloves, and she has a little thermometer in her hand, and I don't know, I think it was just eye-opening to me, and these articles are just really nice to read about and learn how we can change little things and help other communities. And that's pretty much most of the article. Hi, Professor. So I chose an article called Growing Sign Language's Scientific Vocabulary. It's by Lei Kreisch Boerner. Hopefully I pronounced that right. And basically, the article is talking about how American Sign Language, which many deaf people in the U.S. use to communicate, has a limited number of signs for advanced scientific terms, for example, like an antiomer or bacteria even. Language like that, scientific language, vocabulary, there aren't signs for that. Quantum physics, there's no real structured sign for that. And so to say something like that in American Sign Language, they often have to spell the term out letter by letter or use a sign that is kind of similar but isn't conceptually right. And this lack of signs, it significantly hinders these deaf people's career choices, their entry into just the sciences, and it kind of isolates them from their peers. So they're kind of creating groups in these different universities, And those groups are creating new scientific terms for the rest of the ASL, American Sign Language community. And even just in the same university, there's differences in signs by different professors because they learned sign language differently. They're more comfortable with different terms. So, for example, for bacteria, it's common to use the sign for bug, as in like an insect. American Sign Language has a separate sign for bacteria, but some scientists continue to use the one for bug because they're just so used to it. It's ingrained in them, and it's easier to sign for them, even though the other bacteria one is more correct. So I never really thought about that, but, you know, there are a lot of barriers in the science community for deaf individuals. And I don't know, this article was just eye-opening because, you know, you never think about these things when you're doing experiments. But in the picture here, there's a professor that's signing to some students, and they're all wearing, you know, their proper protection equipment, their goggles, their gloves, and she has a little thermometer in her hand. And I don't know, I think it was just eye-opening to me, and these articles are just really nice to read about and learn how we can change little things and help other communities. And that's pretty much most of the article.